Sheila Kalis got her master's degree in exercise physiology from the University of Kentucky, began training in 1989, and launched her business, Fitness Plus, in 1995. Sheila's been watching trends, the aging population in particular, and has made sure her business is responding to this by adopting a Strong Over 50 program. She's here to talk with us about it. Thanks for joining us, Sheila.
Happy to be here.
You've been working with people, helping them maintain fitness for a couple of decades now. Have you noticed a change in the typical age of clientele?
I've noticed a change in the interest of the typical age of the clientele, and then I tried to meet that interest. What I noticed was the aging baby boomers, which I am one of, are incredibly interested in their health. They have worked very hard. They have made a lot of money. They want to enjoy a full retirement, and now their health is front and center. And I noticed that there was a lack in the attention given to that population.
There's an often cited stat out there that we baby boomers are hitting 65 at the rate of 10,000 a day. You're responding to that. You must be seeing that.
It's a big number. I went to a conference several years ago that was just addressing population trends, and the baby boomer trend for businesses like mine, we're told that really for the next 30 years, this population is going to really feed into a lot of businesses. And these people, again, retiring, a lot of money, a lot of concern about their health.
I'd like to get your take on a recent study that I came across. This happened at the Mayo Clinic, and they looked at the toll that aging takes on a body all the way down to the cellular level, and that certain kinds of workouts may undo some of that damage.
As an exercise physiologist, I love the cellular level. It can be a little complicated, but what that study really showed is they looked at certain types of exercise, high-intensity exercise in particular. So this is not your stroll, which is great for health, but changing how your cells reproduce, which this is the aging process. Whether you know it or not, most of your cells are completely reproduced. You're a whole new you about every 21 days. And when those cells reproduce, every time we get a little weaker and a little weaker, and that's what we're aging and we lose elasticity. But they did a study where they showed high intensity bouts of exercise, what they call anaerobic, can go inside the cells and change how they reproduce. And what we started noticing is people who exercise at that high intensity level for part of their exercise reproduce a healthier cell. So someone who looks at me and I tell them that I'm almost 54 years old, they might say, well, you don't look 54. And that's kind of the upside of well-rounded exercise program, including that anaerobic high-intensity exercise.
And so what kind of exercise would that be?
That's the kind that most people don't like. It's the kind that gets you out of breath. It makes you uncomfortable. You have some lactic acid. But we're talking about 10 seconds to maybe at the most 3 minutes of this exercise. It also has a danger factor because high-intensity exercise, you could hurt yourself. It needs to be done under supervision with somebody intelligent that knows how to put somebody in that position.
So is fitness marketing kind of lagging behind what we were talking about before? Is it kind of still targeting young people when it maybe ought to be looking more at the aging population?
Absolutely. I've seen one commercial of a big chain gym that showed a person with gray hair. But for the most part, any flyer you get in the mail or any commercial about fitness or any infomercial about a fitness program shows a sweaty young body with the midsection of ripped abs, with the sweat running down, and these chiseled young people. And that is being marketed to the masses to say, This is our fitness model, and it just doesn't fit our aging population.
And I would assume it's kind of intimidating to those of us that are not chiseled.
Yes. To look at, again, if I get a flyer in the mail, you know, come join my gym, and it shows this ripped out person, I would think if I'm just your average person that needs to work out, I would say, well, I guess I don't belong there because they're not marketing to me.
You just touched on it, but if you could kind of expand on the toll that aging itself, just aging, takes on the body.
Well, there's a condition that was identified in 1986 called sarcopenia. And what that is the age-related loss of muscle mass. That it actually was discovered in 1986 to be a disease, a condition, not an automatic thing that's going to happen when you age. You don't have to lose muscle mass when you age. But if you don't intervene to stop it, you will. So muscles need to be challenged. Starting at about age 35, believe it or not, you can start losing muscle mass. But it becomes really exponential over the age of 50. It's easy to lose 1 to 3 pounds of muscle a year over the age of 50. And since that's often replaced with 1 to 3 pounds of fat, even if people say, well, I weigh the same as I did in high school, they look very different if they're not intervening with specifically strength training. If you challenge your muscles will respond. We did a study, the exercise physiology community, with 90-year-old people. This also was about 15 years ago. These people were wheelchair bound. We put them in a circle. We had them toss a beach ball back and forth to each other 3 days a week. And after 6 weeks, we measured strength gains in their muscles. They weren't under a lot of stress. They were just throwing a beach ball, but from nothing to doing that. And that was the first time we realized that your body never loses the ability to build muscle. We thought it just went away with aging. It does not.
In some of the material that you sent over for me to look at before this interview, you mentioned that incidences of injuries and even death from falls increase with age. Why is that?
Well, over the age of 60, injuries from falls are the sixth leading cause of death. And this is mainly due to poor neuromuscular communication, which is a fancy word of saying how your brain talks to your muscles. Without regular exercise, your brain is not very well connected to the muscles in your body. So when you slip, you, instead of being able to get your hands out in front of you or maybe turn your body so you might just land on your bum and everybody laughs, with poor neuromuscular communication, what happens is the fall results in an increased level of injury, especially head injuries. If you're not able to get your hands out in front of you or turn your body, a lot of times you fall and you hit your head. That's how people have serious injuries, head injuries, and even death. A little bit of exercise, a certain kind, like the addressing our program with Strong Over 50, specifically targets increasing neuromuscular communication. We want your brain to understand how to talk to your body better.
Okay, let's talk about that program, Strong Over 50. What is that?
Well, first of all, we like to say, who doesn't want to be strong over 50? I mean, you know, Strong Over 50 was actually developed by a man named John Stuff out of Raleigh, North Carolina. He wasn't a colleague of mine, but he found me online and saw that I was addressing this population. And he came to me and he said, I've really come up with this program. There's a specific piece of equipment that is associated with it. Our relationship kind of took off from there, and we became a Strong Over 50 certified studio here in Kentucky. It mainly has to do with education. Strong Over 50 means that my trainers have a higher level of education, understanding what happens to a body 50 years and older and how we should change training with it. One quick example, the shoulder joint is probably the weakest joint in our body. It's very vulnerable. And over the age of 50, there's just four little ligaments that are holding your arm up into your shoulder socket. And you've heard people say that they've hurt their rotator cuff. One slip and fall and you can tear your rotator cuff, those ligaments that hold your shoulder joint. Because that joint is so delicate, over the age of 50, people should not be really pushing heavy weights over their head. It's a very common exercise called a shoulder press. A knowledgeable trainer knows that people over 50 have no reason to do that exercise. There's lots of other ways to work the shoulder that doesn't put that joint at risk. Things like that, challenging neuromuscular communication through balance and stability. The piece of equipment he came up with was an improvement on a piece that a lot of people may be familiar with called the TRX. The TRX is a training device that uses your body weight. It's called suspension training. It hangs from the wall. Well, the Navy SEALs invented the TRX, and it's a great piece of equipment. But you need to be pretty coordinated in how to use it. John's piece of equipment was based on that. It's a much safer version. It doesn't put your joints at risk. It gives you different grips, a way to hold it. It moves better, even if somebody has arthritis. So it's a natural, progressive movement from something that was invented maybe 15 or 20 years ago.
And so you have those.
We have that piece of equipment. But what I'll emphasize is a program of Strong Over 50 really is what is in that trainer's brain and their level of education to understand how to work with older clients.
You just mentioned something else that we want to get into here, knowledgeable trainers. Personal trainers don't need any kind of licensing in the state of Kentucky. Anybody can be a trainer right now.
Yes, the
consumers. Is that good or bad?
It's terrible. It's terrible. It gives my field a bad reputation. The consumer is unaware of this. The consumer assumes, the word certified is used a lot. I'm a certified personal trainer. Well, I challenge anybody to go on the web and search personal training certifications. Anybody listening to this broadcast in less than a day could be a certified personal trainer. You can get online guaranteed to pass classes for $99. We'll teach you everything you need to know about exercise physiology and anatomy in 25 minutes over. So certifications don't mean a thing. Not that there aren't some good ones out there. I have several. But I don't hire anyone that doesn't go to school to do this for a living. Certifications on top of education are fine. But with no minimum standards for somebody in basically the healthcare field is just shocking to me. I mean, your hairdresser needs a license, not to mention your physical therapist and your massage therapist and your occupational therapist and, of course, your doctor. It's a passion of mine to try to get this changed. And I will add, trainers are not required to have licenses in any state in the union, not just Kentucky.
And as you say, this is a passion of yours. You've been working for several years on this. And what's that all about?
Well, starting in about 2011, some professional associates of mine, Kelly Cecil and I, have been partners in several things over the years. We started something called the Kentucky Association of Wellness Professionals. And this is a broad-based organization for independent healthcare professionals, including personal trainers. And we want to be the gatekeeper to set standards for trainers. We went out to the medical community first, and we found out the number one reason that doctors do not refer their patients to personal trainers is because trainers aren't licensed and doctors don't trust them. They want their people to have exercise, but they don't want to give them to an uneducated person. So we asked if there was a website that you could go to and you could see a list of qualified trainers, would this be a better way for you to refer? They jumped on that. So we've been building our website and doing lots of things behind the scenes, but you can't find good trainers because there's no directory, because there's no licensing. Trainers that don't have to join something, an association, or get a license, they're really not going to. So without some legislation to make it mandatory, just like the massage therapist did about 15 years ago, we're not going to be able to get it done. So we are working. I mean, not that I want to get involved in the world of politics, but we are working on drafting some legislation. We have some people in Frankfurt that are willing to help us. And we hope, even by getting the word out like this to consumers, that something could happen.
And possibly come up in the next session, right?
That's what we're hoping for.
Getting any resistance to this from competitors?
Not to me personally, but I know the resistance is out there. There are lobbyists right now in Frankfurt that are waiting to fight against this. There are lobbyists from two different arenas. One are the big gyms. Our biggest gym chain in Lexington charges $45 for a 30-minute training session. So that gym is making $90 an hour for training, and that trainer's getting paid between $12 and $15. The gyms are making big money. Licensing and higher education standards are going to mean that the wages are going to have to go up. So big gyms are against it. And all of those businesses that certify people, they are big businesses and they make a lot of money certifying. Some of the large certification bodies that I know where people work, they say only about 12 to 25% of the people that pay them hundreds of dollars to get certified actually finish the course and pass the test. They love this. Trainers with licenses mean nobody's going to be getting these cheap certifications. They are lobbying against us also.
A lot of the big fitness centers and gyms sell memberships. They require advanced purchases of packages of training sessions. You don't do that. How come?
I worked in a gym for a while, and when I sat in on managerial meetings and learned that the goal of most gyms is not to get anybody healthier, but to sign people up for membership and hope that you never come. The average gym only plans on 4 to 10% of the membership coming on a regular basis to use their equipment. When I went to trade shows and seminars and sat in on talks about how to increase your bottom line, it was all about upselling people and hoping they don't cash in on things.
I have to ask you, I'm sorry, is that really true? 4 to 10%? That's the show up rate?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
From a business standpoint, some of the big gyms might have 7,000 or 8,000 members, but they don't have 7,000 or 8,000 treadmills. They only have to outfit it from a business standpoint for that 4 to 10% usage. So, and about 50% of pre-sold training sessions go unused. So that's how you make money in the gym business. And maybe people thought I wasn't a good business person, but I said, when I start my business, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let people control their money. They're going to come and train. And if they find value in it, they'll come back. We send our clients a bill once a month. I was interviewed by another radio station in Los Angeles one time, and he said, how do you know you're going to get paid if you don't accept prepayment? I don't understand how you know you're going to get paid. And I said, well, I send a bill. I mean, how does the electric company know they're going to get paid? They send you a bill after your month's usage. So to me, it seemed very logical. But our clients respect that a lot, because what we're telling them is, we respect you and your checkbook. You should decide how much and when you want to spend your money. You don't know when you're going to get sick or when you're going to travel, or maybe you might have a financial crisis. So I find it an excellent business model, and I think I know our clients really appreciate it. And we have an incredibly low turnover of clients. We've trained people for 15 and 20 years because they trust us. They trust us.
What do you enjoy the most about this?
I like working with older people too, and I've had the privilege and the pain of training people till they die. And when people reach the later stages of their life, I'm thinking of one particular man. I started with him when he was 77. He died when he was 93, and he came to the gym probably till about 6 months before he died. But he would tell me so often, Sheila, you're keeping me alive. You are keeping me alive. And hearing those words from more than one person, that's what I love most about my job, on top of giving young people who went to school to do this for a living an opportunity to work in a professional environment, to be paid a professional wage, and to feel good about their profession. That is my second favorite thing.
Sheila Kalis is owner of Fitness Plus in Lexington. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast is produced in the studios of Dynamics Productions, an audio recording and sound design facility in Lexington. On the web at dxaudio.com. Dynamics Productions. We listen.